Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing the Corey Mahler-Samuel Say debate that happened last Thursday. And yeah, that debate was kind of a big deal. Will it be a huge deal moving forward? We'll see about that. I had a lot of predictions going into this debate. I thought it would be a Samuel Say meltdown because I don't really think that Samuel Say is a very good thinker. I do think he's a bit of a diversity hire and stuff like that in evangelicalism. And so I didn't think he was really equipped to handle this level of debate. In contrast, I don't know a whole lot about Corey Mahler. I've never listened to Stone Choir. He's a bit of a mystery to me, and I have a lot of intellectual curiosity about him. It's just a matter of I don't have time to research the guy because in order to research him, you kind of need to go into hours and hours of content. And I do not have time for that. And he's not big enough of a target to warrant that. I have a lot of intellectual curiosity about the subjects that I report on the videos that I do. I'll use The Chosen as an example. I was intellectually curious and spiritually curious as well, I guess, to see if this would be a God-honoring project. I concluded it was not, and I was vehemently so about that. Same with House of David, a more recent example. But anyway, Corey Mahler is just, the current example of my curiosity and me exploring this curiosity, because I don't go off of what other people say. Some people I like really hate the Stone Choir people. I have some people that I also like that like the Stone Choir people. So what side do I land on? That's not really going to be answered in this debate. But I will say up front, I'm a little underwhelmed by the preceded reputation of Corey Mahler. So let's dive into this, my video, my review sort of the debate. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. I once heard that we were called a too long didn't read of Christian news and Christian social media and stuff like that. This video will definitely serve as that because we're going to help summarize a 2-hour give or take debate in hopefully under 20 minutes. So let's see if we can do that. Challenge accepted. You can support our work over our patron-like system at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. I have a book, Winning Not Winsome, available on Amazon, linked in the description below. And then let's dive in. I do have an article that I'm going to use for this review for this video because there's a lot of thoughts that I have. There's a lot of topics that are discussed in the course of the 2-hour conversation. We are going to play a clip, but it's going to be a clip that surfaced on social media in a very deceptive manner. So we're going to get to the clip that I want to share, but you know, if you want to see the whole debate, watch the whole debate. You can do it at least 1.25 speed like we're going to watch it in today's video. So again, I don't know a whole lot about the Stone Choir or Corey Mahler in particular. So this debate's pretty curious to me. I didn't get a chance to watch the Chris Roseborough debate. And that debate was so poorly formatted, you know, I'd have to wade into it. This one was shorter. I had a feeling it would be shorter than the Chris Roseborough debate, which was around 3 hours. So yeah, lucky me here. So anyway, the debate starts off getting into a disagreement on the curse of Ham. Samuel Say asserts that it's a curse only on Canaan. And then Mahler asserts that the curse applies to varying degrees to all of Ham's descendants. And he uses Africa as sort of the example of the curse playing out today. So, and in recent centuries. So the debate is over, the two debate the historic precedence of Mahler's position. Samuel Say says at one point that this was a Muslim commentary on the curse of Ham that was being articulated by Mahler, but Mahler asserts that this view goes back to the early church fathers. and he especially cites Luther in his commentaries. Now, the thing about the commentaries that Luther writes is, yes, they largely agree with Muller's characterization. Now, Luther's commentaries on the Curse of Ham are actually very interesting because he kind of spiritualizes it. So Luther kind of asserts that the Curse of Ham plays out more spiritually because he cites the fact that the Hamites have initial hegemony over the ancient world. So he talks about Babylon. We can also look at Egypt, whereas the Japhethites and the Shemites, they are not as dominant a people starting out. So like Nimrod and the Tower of Babylon were Hamite efforts. So he talks about the Hamites being shut out of the kingdom of God and the fold of God is kind of what Luther's commentary is about. And he does get around to specifically talking about Canaan, but Luther's commentaries are largely that the descendants of Ham are cursed. So I do think that Muller was more correct about Luther's position than Samuel Say was reading Luther's commentary on Genesis 9. Muller also uses the Septuagint, which is important. I did read the Septuagint translation of Genesis for this video. And yeah, I mean, it does sort of downplay the degree in which they're slaves. A lot of modern translations say lowest of the lows, you know, lowest of the slaves, which also begs the question, who are the other slaves that Canaan is the lowest of the low? If all these slaves are serving Shem and Japheth. So yeah, that would be all of the other sons of Ham, logically speaking. But anyway, reading the Septuagint, which is what Muller argues from, it does say more bondservant. It does have more of a house slave type of connotation as opposed to the lowest of the low. So I will say that which translation's better, not for me to decide. I do like the Septuagint as a resource, and I have no reason to think that it's not as good of a manuscript as the others. So anyway, this is not a primary issue of the gospel of doctrine of sound teaching. It is a tertiary issue, and what your views on this, on the curse of Ham, really have no bearing on salvation. I want to make that very clear. Wesley Todd, when he came on the live stream the other week, he posited a view about the curse of Ham applying to all of Ham's descendants because the sin of Ham was so grievous that his name is blotted out. And that seems to be a similar view to what Muller has, but nonetheless, it is not heresy. This view isn't heresy. So moving on, the next subject I wanted to bring up, because this is the next major subject in the debate, is interracial marriage. Corey Muller's often attacked as someone who views interracial marriage as a sin. Apparently, this is not the case. In the debate, Muller is pressed on his view and clarifies that there are situations where it is and is not sinful. The situation given is where it is sinful is if someone is doing so out of hatred for their race. The situation given that is considered not sinful is, say, when a foreign missionary marries a native as part of ingratiating himself with the nation he is ministering to. So Corey Muller does believe that interracial marriage can be righteous, but he also asserts that there are some cases where it's not very good. The example he gave in the debate was if a bunch of Japanese men married a bunch of Ethiopian women, he said that this would do damage to both the Japanese race and the Ethiopian race. And, you know, I forget whether he says that this would be a sin, but he definitely says that this would be a bad thing. So I can see that, you know, as the loss of a race like that I kind of think it's bad. I mean, I think it's good for people to preserve themselves. That doesn't mean that it's a sin on an individual level when there's exceptions made to this. I also think that, you know, race is more patrilineal, so it's a bigger deal for a woman to marry outside her race than it is for a man to do so. But that's just me. That's a, you know, but you see that in the Old Testament where Hebrews are marrying Rahab, and that's not bad. Or Boaz is marrying Ruth. That's not bad. So anyway, let's talk about grace in biology. And this is a clip that was sort of selectively edited for the pleasure of Samuel Say, because this is his sort of best moment in the debate. I think Samuel Say does really poorly in this debate. He's not a good thinker, and it really shows. Corey Mahler is able to anticipate his arguments, and basically cut him off at the curb because he knows what he's going to say. And he also kind of had to explain himself multiple times, and I thought he was very clear on what he was saying. But I don't think Samuel Say thought he was very clear on what he was saying. So there are some parts, and this is mostly the first hour, that are very frustrating because Corey Mahler is kind of openly saying, you know, I'm going to repeat for like the fourth time or whatever, that, you know, he believes that there's curses of varying degrees, and, you know, this is not about defining what percentage of cursed you are and stuff like that. So he kind of repeats himself quite a bit on this issue. But here's a clip that I think is salient because it gets into grace and nature. And I think this is definitely the part where I disagree with Corey Mahler the most in this debate.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Percent of the population when you limit it to 15 to 45 for black males. How else can you explain that?
Okay, well, okay, let me address that. You've mentioned earlier that black people are, let me actually be sure, I don't want to paraphrase it. I want to make sure that I get your exact words. Black people are inherently and incurably violent, is what you said. Do you think the Holy Correct. Spirit can make, in your view, can make black people as godly as white people?
In eternity.
But not on earth.
That's not how God operates.
So
I'm not
Earth,
talking about
so,
can
so to
God.
Be clear, just to be clear,
I don't think
sir,
that's the right question. Will sir, God is the right question.
Sir, to be clear, is the Holy Spirit able to make black people as godly, in your view, as white people? Yes or no?
Are you talking about in time or in eternity? I assume you're asking about in time.
Now, sir, is the Holy Spirit able to make black people as godly as white people?
The answer to that is no, because you're asking me if God can make a woman a man.
So this was sort of the clip that Samuel Say posted, and I think this is a face-saving measure by Samuel Say, because he gets owned for basically most of this debate. This is sort of like his ability to kind of claim a win, because I think Corey Mahler gets a little bit clumsy here in terms of letting him, he kind of falls into the banana, you know, the banana in the pipe, tailpipe a little bit. So, but the extended clip is not as bad as that portion, which is what Samuel Say clips. But let's provide some context to what they're discussing. They're discussing groups as wholes. They're not talking about individuals in salvation. And I went and rewatched this clip because it sat with me pretty wrong the first time that I watched the debate. I watched it again. I still don't agree with all that Mahler says here, but it's not as bad as when I first watched it. Let me know what your thoughts are on that. But this is the fuller context of the clip that Samuel Say posted, and it's about groups, so and genetic predispositions.
Sir, Again, we're addressing. We're not talking about changing gender here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit
being able to
transform lives.
Of course, you can transform lives. Again,
just to be clear, you've just said God is not able to make some people godly. He's not able to sanctify some people because of
No, he can sanctify, but the problems will remain because there are certain proclivities that certain groups have.
Okay. Well, you can say however you want to say, but you
Germans said have their own particular sins. The Scottish have their particular sins. Africans have their particular sins. Different groups are prone to different things. It's one of the reasons that he says all Cretans are liars. That was one of their national. Culture is downstream from race.
Culture doesn't fall out of the sky.
So this is one of the frequent arguments by Mahler is that culture is downstream from race. So you heard him say it there. He said that multiple times throughout the debate. So it's important context.
They're saying, to be clear, you've said that the Holy Spirit is not able to transform lives in
no,
terms
I
of...
No, I said the Holy Spirit can. I said the Holy Spirit...
I didn't finish. What I was saying is, again, you're saying that Black people cannot be transformed by the Holy Spirit in a way that, again, just to kind of borrow your thinking, that would make them as godly as white people, right?
I'm saying he's not going to change what you are fundamentally. That's why I used the issue of sex. Okay. Because earlier you talked about racial essentialism, early on in sort of the opening, I guess it was. It would be as ridiculous to claim that race is not essential as to claim that sex is not essential. And here we're obviously talking about physical sex, biology. You are physically, biologically male. You are physically, biologically African. God cannot make you something other than that because you would no longer be you. It's the same thing as when an atheist asks, can God make a stone so heavy he can't lift it? The question is incoherent.
Okay. So can the Holy Spirit transform a violent white person to become less violent?
Is he violent because he has a genetic predisposition for it? Because the genetics will not change. That's the point I'm making. The biology is not changed. God does not rewrite your DNA when you become a Christian. The same as God does not regrow your limbs when you become a Christian. If you're missing a leg and you become a Christian, the leg doesn't come back. Your genes don't change.
Sinful nature is not the same as a missing leg, sir. The Holy Spirit, as we know, again, is
certain things are genetic.
Okay.
There's a genetic predisposition. Does that go away when you become Christian?
The question. You've answered it. You've said that, again, the Holy Spirit is not able to transform some people.
No, I said the Holy Spirit does sanctify.
To be clear, in the same way that he transforms other people, which, again, is absolutely not true. I mean, you mentioned...
No, I'm saying the Holy Spirit will sanctify, which is his work, but he is working with the substrate that is human biology. He is not going to change what you are, essentially.
All right. Let's move on. I think...
So that is... the broader context. I did have some thoughts that I wrote down on this. I said, in my opinion, is that grace does transform nature, but that is not instantaneous. Generations of successive faithfulness, in my theory, would improve genetic predispositions. Coincidentally, sin degrades nature, and the sins of the father can be visited on the sons via their DNA. Mahler's view appears far more rigid than mine. Sam will say, in contrast, is a more atomized view of people. And I think the broader picture of that clip is not nearly as good for Samuel Say as the, you know, that he posted like 30 seconds of that, maybe 21 seconds, but still. That clip is way longer. There's a lot more going on than what Samuel Say edited out of context, which... I have some problems with him doing that. So with that said, that was Mueller's most disagreeable moment in that debate. Like, that's the moment where I'm like, I don't know, man. Everything he said kind of in line, but that part, that was his most questionable moment. But he is talking about groups. He is talking about genetic predispositions and more about the relationship between grace and biology, which I don't think is where Samuel Say was arguing. So Samuel Say is trying to make this a completely spiritual conversation. Corey Mahler is making this a more of a biological conversation, and Samuel Say isn't smart enough to realize that. So the end of the debate involves Samuel Say's closing statements being sort of a diatribe, denouncing Corey Mahler as a false teacher, as a false brother, and, you know, saying that he's going to hell and basically like that. Mahler does not return the favor. And it's kind of interesting because Mahler at times compliments Samuel Say, only for his compliment to be returned with a scoff. Mahler does not returned the favor of damning Samuel Say to hell, believing that the issues that they disagreed on are within the realm of Orthodox Christianity. So maybe that comes across as more mature. Maybe it's Samuel Say being more real about what it is he's dealing with. But Corey Mueller is calm and collected. He's very apathetic in a lot of, you know, there's like a clinical apathy. This is at 1.25 speed, and he sounds like a robo caller. So I don't know. So I write this. Corey Mueller is made out to be a boogeyman, but my first experience hearing him elaborate and defend his views, he fails to live up to this preceded reputation. Corey Mueller won this debate, and it's hands down. Like, it was embarrassing for Samuel Say to watch him just not understand basic categories. He doesn't understand history. He doesn't understand exegesis. But Samuel Say does have enough friends, unlike Chris Roseborough, that he will be able to save face. So that's what I think is going to be the outcome of this debate. I don't think that this debate was good for Samuel Say. I don't think it was terrible for Corey Mueller. I'm not sure it was as great for Corey Mueller as the Chris Roseborough debate was. But at the end of the day, the people who hate Stone Choir did not send their best. And they are majoring on minors by trying to take views of race, be they pre-1960, and use these as a test of orthodoxy. Corey Mueller said some pretty disagreeable things, even for me, even for my taste. And I'm pretty much, you know, dissident right, Christian nationalist, and all that. But nothing he said, in my opinion, was outside the realm of orthodoxy. And I would recommend watching the live stream with Wesley Todd that I did a couple of weeks ago, because there's a lot of relevance between what we talk about in that live stream and what went down in this debate. And then, and again, that's much of what was going to be discussed in this debate, unbeknownst to me. One more thing. I thought it was pretty interesting that when Samuel Say is defending his marriage, he doesn't do a good job of answering the question of why he wouldn't want to pass down his Ghanaian heritage to his children. I thought that was pretty interesting. And also, he missed a layup, or not a layup, but he missed an opportunity to bring up that feces tweet that Corey Mueller made and make him defend that, because he made it personal about himself. The moderators in this debate did keep the conversation going. You kind of saw it at the end of that clip, but they kind of let that one go a little longer. But they kept things moving. And I appreciate that, because, you know, they kept the debate at around 2 hours, and they were able to do that by keeping things moving. So those are my thoughts on this debate. I think Corey Mueller won because I think Samuel Sage was bad, if for no other reason than he was bad. Corey Mueller was kind of collected, sounds like a robocaller, which kind of helps him be stoic and make arguments. He had like his own little syllogism, and is his syllogism false? Well, not really convinced that it is, and you should watch the debate for yourself. So let me know what you thought about the debate, and have a blessed day. Stay based, Crisis King, and I will catch you on the next one.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.